Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some Pac-12 football, a little bit of hoops sprinkled in. She is the terrific host you will find in the studio, out and about, anchor, reporter. Follow along on Twitter, the handle, and make sure you reverse it at Adamson Ashley. Ashley Adamson joins us. Ashley, really appreciate you taking some time today. How are things with you?
Things are great. I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to catching up with you. And before we get started, I'm supposed to send you Jill Savage's best. She said to say hi.
Ah, that's nice of her. Jill's awesome.
Yes, she is.
So working for the network, obviously there's a heavy emphasis on football and basketball, but you've done a lot. Olympic sports, sideline reporting. I always like, as a first-time guest, to get a little background. So I know you attended Boston College. So where are you from personally, and what could you tell us about your time at BC?
Yeah, so I actually grew up mostly in Denver, Colorado, and come from a family that went to Notre Dame, so I was a little bit of the black sheep when I decided to go to BC, but absolutely loved my time in Boston. I actually went to grad school at Boston University, so was in Boston for about 7 years or so before I started my great local news tour about 10 years ago. So, yeah, I love Boston. I worked for the Red Sox. Somehow I lined it up that I missed their championships in 04 and 07 by a year. I worked for them the year before and the year after, both of those championships. But, yeah, Boston's a great city. And then I kind of made my way through upstate New York, lived in Albany, lived in Syracuse, and then was in Indianapolis most recently before I came out to Pac-12 when we launched in 2012.
Awesome. By the way, go Terriers. My brother-in-law went to BU as well.
There you go.
I loved your bio on the Pac-12 website. So you were in college. It said you studied abroad. So you didn't do a win in Rome. You did more of a win in Dublin. You spent time in Ireland and played some rugby?
I did, yes. Much to my mother's chagrin, as I think I may have pointed out in that bio. But yeah, it was great. It's one of those things that, you know, I look back and it makes me laugh because 20-year-old Ashley thought, well, how am I ever going to leave school for a full semester? Like, this is so fun. Why would I don't care how great the experience is going to be. Why would I leave? And then, of course, I did leave, and it was the best thing I ever did. And playing rugby was the best choice I could have made because, you know, I found some really great friends. We traveled. We won a European championship. They had just formed. The only reason I was able to play was they had just formed a women's team that year. So they were just, like, desperate for warm bodies. And I had ran track at BC the year before, so I was in relatively healthy shape. So I could run fast. I didn't know the rules that well, but I picked them up well enough, and it was an absolute blast. Rugby is also a very big drinking sport, so that, that made it even more fun.
Count me in. We're talking with Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12. So we know game day was here in Eugene for Stanford, a game that left a lot of our local residents needing therapy. Then, of course, there was there was the wild overtime win last week against Washington. On your Twitter, you mentioned redemption for C.J. Verdell, who had that fumble. But I guess overall, what's kind of been the buzz with you and your colleagues about the magnitude of that victory by the Ducks?
It was huge. It was awesome. I mean, Nick Aliotti is one of our great friends and colleagues here at the network, and I watched that game with him, which was fun. And I think the thing that I love is you never know how a game or a loss, especially the loss, the way that they lost to Stanford, you have no idea how that's going to affect the team psyche. And it can, I've seen it before, a loss like that can derail your whole season. And so to see them come back, win at Cal, then pull off what they did last week, and then another huge opportunity this weekend in Pullman, this is an awesome, fun team to watch and to cheer for. And I feel like Mario Cristobal, you know, and a lot of people say it, and I'm sure people have said it on your show, but this feels like his team, and it truly felt like that at the end of that game. I was really genuinely happy for C.J. Verdell. After what happened in the Stanford game, to be able to have the opportunity to have the exact opposite feeling at the end of an overtime game, I couldn't have been happier for him personally. And it's just, there's a ton of good buzz. There's a lot of, I'd say, out of all of the Pac-12 schools, we have the most Ducks in our office. I think Oregon is the best repped of all the Pac-12 schools in our Pac-12 office. So there's a lot of good excitement and energy surrounding the Ducks employees here at the Pac-12. There's no doubt about that.
Now, at the network, you guys have added a nice wrinkle. You're sending some of you to different locations each week. Of course, we're looking forward to the visit when Chip Kelly makes his return here.
Yeah.
First of all, it looks awesome on TV. So how has that worked out year one, and what's this week's destination?
Yeah, it has been awesome. I appreciate you saying something. And we've wanted to be on the road with the pregame show since we launched, and there were obviously a lot of things that had to fall into place, and then some leaps of faith that had to happen. So it has been amazing. I think the response from the campuses has been phenomenal. Every place is a little bit different. Hopefully if we do this again next year, we'll be a lot better because we know so many of the different nuances that happen each week when we're on the road. But we're actually at Oregon State this week for Oregon State Cal, and I think that's the one thing that we've looked at is we're trying to figure out you got to go to every campus for – you know, we've got 12 weeks. We're going to every single campus. Utah was the only one that we hit twice. And it's just been, it's been awesome because I think the thing that we have been missing is that when you are only in the studio, you don't connect to the teams and the players and the fans in the same way that you do when you're on the road. And so for me, I've absolutely loved it. The schools and the fans have been so good to us. We were laughing because when we were at Washington State, I mean, the fans were awesome, but they were cheering, "We want game day" in the background pretty much the whole time. So I'm happy for them that it's finally happening this weekend. I don't think I've ever seen a group of people so excited about one thing, and so it's finally coming to fruition. But yeah, it's been great, and we'll be, Mike Yam and Nigel Burton and Evan Moore will be in Corvallis this weekend.
Awesome. We're talking with Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 Network. So USC got off to a sluggish start. I mean, they looked bad in two road games at Austin and Palo Alto. They won at Arizona, then Colorado last week, great defense, and now they go to Salt Lake City. So what's the word about maybe this team coming together at the right time and maybe a chance to control that Pac-12 South?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think it was easy to, maybe write them off. Everyone was all excited about USC at the beginning, question mark about, okay, what are they going to do with their freshman quarterback? How's that going to play out? But their defense is going to be elite. We knew that. And then all of a sudden we weren't so sure and what's going on. And now they're right back in the thick of it. And if they win at Utah, the Pac-12 South, I think that they'll be back playing in the Pac-12 championship game. I think that the thing I'm curious to see is how JT Daniels fares on the road. He doesn't have a touchdown pass in three of his road games this year, and all three of his road games, I should say. And he seems like he takes steps forward, but I'm curious to see him, how he will do on a stage. Like, I mean, it's no joke. You guys know, anyone who's been to Rice-Eccles knows that, especially for big games, the Musk gets up for it. It's going to be a 5 o'clock game. That place is going to be rocking. It's going to be packed. So how he will play will be interesting. It's something that I'm looking for. And then also what this defense is going to look like. Obviously, a huge blow to Porter Gustin is out for the rest of the year. I was sad for him for that, sad for USC's defense. And I know Cam Smith was held out last week. I haven't seen an update on his availability for this week, and I know he's dealing with a hamstring strain. So what this defense is going to look like will be very interesting to me. But this USC-Utah game, I mean, I feel like it has felt in the last 3 or 4 years that the South, a lot of the South has been, other than the year that Colorado won it, it's been determined almost by this game. So I'm looking forward to this one, and it's one that we've got on our network at 5 o'clock on Saturday. So it should be good.
Now, I mentioned Pullman this week. The winner obviously puts himself in a real nice position. If not for a botched field goal and maybe a proper targeting call, the Cougs could be unbeaten. Now, you get personal time with the coaches. So how much of a character is Mike Leach? And I guess I should say, how does one end up in a sword fight with a football coach?
Great question. What I dreamed of doing my whole career, right?
Right.
I have a great relationship with Mike Leach. I think the thing that I really love and appreciate about him, and he's not for everyone, and I get that. He's a different guy. He is not your typical football coach. But the thing that I love about him is that he is unapologetically who he is. And every time I talk to him, I genuinely learn something. Not usually about football,
right,
but about something else. He's incredibly well-read. He He's incredibly curious. The questions that he asks, the things that he thinks about, I mean, his brain is like a fascinating, fascinating thing. And so we've had a really good relationship over the years. We both, I mean, he came into the league the same year that we launched. So
right.
we've been working with him and covering him for 6+ years. But what's funny, speaking specifically to the sword fight, so we had that slow-mo video booth set up at Pac-12 Media Days, and the players were getting into it, and it was super fun. And Karen, who runs our digital team, said, you know, I'd love to have Leach do something, but, like, I don't really know how to ask him. And I was like, oh, my God, we can totally make this happen. Just give him a sword. And that was basically it. He kind of walked over. He was holding a coffee, and I just took his coffee and gave him a sword. And the next thing, you know, he's destroying me on slow-mo video with a sword. So, yeah, we've had some good times with him. He's played along well with us at Mickey Days over the years, and I get that he's not everyone's flavor, but I'm a Mike Leach fan.
He's quite the character. Couple final thoughts for Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 Network. Some basketball. Obviously, fans here in town are just loving Kelly Graves. He literally has ignited a program that was dormant. I know you've gotten to spend some time with the team, his floor general, Sabrina Ionescu. And you talk about the it factor beyond her polished game. You know, she's comfortable with the media. Ashley, is it me or does she just seem born to handle this superstar role?
Yeah, she's been impressive. I mean, it's amazing to me, and I feel bad for the other Pac-12 teams that she's coming into her junior year. Like, it just doesn't seem possible that she's as polished as she is both on the court and off of it. Because like you said, it does feel like this isn't hard for her. Like, she's not trying to be a certain way. She's not trying to say the right thing in the media interviews. She's not trying to do the right thing. Like, it's just who she is. She cares a ton. She's invested. And she has this swagger and confidence about her that is awesome, and I think rubs off on her teammates. And you have a player like Sabrina on the floor. I mean, Ruthie Hebert was here for Pac-12 Media Days.
Right.
Was that last week? And she was saying, you know, sometimes I don't even know I'm open. And Sabrina gets me the ball. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't even think I was open. And all of a sudden, the ball's in my hands. So I think she raises, you know, like any good floor general does, raises the play of everybody around her and has a belief and a confidence and sort of sets the tone for what they do. But I have loved watching how just the energy and excitement and attention that Kelly Graves has brought to the Oregon basketball program. It's been fun to see. I know, I think they broke the record for attendance increases. They had the biggest increase in attendance last year of anyone in the country for women's basketball. And he's, Kelly Graves, again, one of the most likable guys out there. He's had some fun with us too. I had no idea about his acting career. And if you haven't seen the clip from his movie over the summer, you'll have to look that up. He had some interesting lines.
They are
it's been fun to watch, though.
Yeah, they are. I use the word joyful. And lastly, the media picked the Oregon men as the favorite. Kind of interesting, you know, Lewis King, Bol Bol, few returning players, didn't make the tournament last year. What you think it was just a matter of, man, there's just no clear-cut favorite. Dana Altman just has a tendency to crank out quality teams. What was your take on the Ducks as the pick in what looks like, I guess, a pretty wide-open Pac-12?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. I think no one knows what's going to happen this year. The fact that it's not Arizona or UCLA is kind of the front runner. We know that they're going to be the team to beat. Feels different than it has in years past. And I think with Oregon, what we have seen is that sometimes it takes a little bit for Dana Altman to get things figured out, but by February, like, his teams just, they come together and they play well. And last year obviously wasn't the year that they all wanted, but you look at what he's done in his time there and the way that he develops players and the way they play defense and all the different looks that they throw at teams. I mean, he knows how to coach. And I think everyone, you know, all of our analysts that I've talked to agree that he's one of the best coaches in the country. And so probably part of that is a nod to that, is that we don't really know. There's a lot of unknowns. Arizona doesn't have any of their starters back from last year. unsure and unclear. UCLA's got some injuries, significant injuries. So I think a lot of it is the unknown, and you got some big-time players coming in for Oregon. You got Peyton Pritchard back, and so, yeah, why not? First time ever, I think, that both the men and women were picked first in the preseason.
Absolutely. Folks, she is Ashley Adamson, the reverse Twitter handle, at Adamson Ashley. You don't want to miss the always entertaining, informative A-plus coverage of she and the Pac-12 crew. Ashley, send my best back at Jill. We really appreciate your time. Travel safe. I hope you and your family are well, and look forward to talking again down the road.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, you take care.